I'm Tyler Baker, and with me as always is Nasty Nate Kennedy and Rotten Joe Amato.
Hello. It's round two.
Here we go on RoboCop 2! Yes! God damn it, I'm celebrating! If I could do backflips and not show my face, I'd do it right now, but I can't.
Alright, if you're wondering why the hell they're actually still wearing us, because we tried this once, and we goofed, and they had about as much enthusiasm as noticing a rat turd on the ground. You just... Hey. Yeah. It was no enthusiasm at all, so they're mocking me because I gave them grief about the botched first time. So here's part two of our RoboCop 2.
Yeah, we went like a good, fucking 15 minutes, and it looked like everything was fine, and then we check, and everyone's like, what's going on? So we're giving it another try, and hopefully it's working this time. Looks like it is.
And if it doesn't work, we know who to blame.
Yeah, my lack of enthusiasm in the intro last time was just tired from being outside doing stuff, coming in, I've just been exhausted, so I apologize for that.
I like being able to ring both you guys for just acting like you couldn't care less. So, yes, we are here to discuss what I feel the underappreciated sequel to RoboCop, RoboCop 2, directed by Irvin Kershner. And, I said before that, I feel like the film was coming into its own and being appreciated a lot more by the fans. But we're just here to praise the hell out of it, and why I think all three of us liked it when it came out. And I had said previously too that it really felt like the film came under scrutiny by fans and wasn't as well received. Obviously, it did well enough to warrant a sequel, which sucked, a second sequel. But we just want to discuss why the movie is as good, and I don't know why people felt the film was not as good. I've never really talked to anybody from childhood to adulthood that didn't like the film. So I can't really pinpoint, other than Siskel and Ebert, when I watched their review. Of course, they damn near hated everything.
If it wasn't a foreign documentary or something, they didn't like anything.
No, they really didn't, I felt like. You go back and watch a lot of stuff, like, God, man, they dump on so much stuff.
Hell, I think they even gave E.T. two thumbs down. It's like, how the hell do you give E.T. two thumbs down? What world is this? So, yeah, their taste, I never cared what they ever thought. But, no, RoboCop 2, what's weird is you're talking about, like, hate. It's not that I completely hated the movie, but I'll be honest, I never flipped over it. It was parts where, yeah, we never discussed. Yeah, exactly. We've never talked about it. That's why I kind of was quiet too. It's because, again, I want to hear, because I ain't saying, oh, because they hate it, I'm right. I want to hear why you guys love it so much. But just some of the things off the top of my head I remember as a kid that got me so irritated. First was that little shithead kid who was supposed to be the big tough guy boss. I mean, it just, I can't explain. Like I said, this is me. But as young, when I was watching, I was like, I hate this little fucker. I was like, I actually want to see RoboCop kill him. I was like, I can't take you soon. He's a tough guy. He's a fucking mob boss. Like, get the heck, kill this little fucker. I couldn't stand him. I hate those little bastards that were beating up the guy that were in, like, that radio shack. I was like, this entire baseball team has just beat this old man. I was like, what the heck? I mean,
wait,
I know
they're trying to... That's one of the best parts.
I hated that. I was like, you rotten little fuckers, and especially with the coach that's allowing this. So I was like, this guy is bleeding. I was like, how rotten are these people? I know that they're saying, okay, the city's bad. It was like, really? Everybody, nobody respects RoboCop, and the RoboCop's reconditioned to fucking be, the good guy and pointing his fingers, and then they're trying their Max Headroom ripoff with that fucking screen for the use for Kane for RoboCop 2.
Just get the hell out of here.
Well, for me, I felt, because I remember Max Headroom, so when I first seen it, I was like, what's that? Well, that's what I said. So I remember, I remember at Max Headroom all the time when I seen this. I was like, oh, here we go, the Max Headroom 3D, try to be computer crap. Just the parts like that annoyed the hell out of me. He had some good fights when he fought, Kane / RoboCop 2, okay, but just some parts just drove me nuts as hell, and it was that little bastard boss kid that I hated, that sucker, and I hated that softball team that I'd like to use a bat on all of them. I'm not kidding, that chip just annoyed me. Had good parts, but had parts like that for me that annoyed the hell out of me. Just annoyed the hell.
Playing the role of Tyler Baker this week is Joe Amato.
No. I'm not saying listen to me. I'm completely right. I'm giving you my, that's my opinion and impression of the movie.
That's the point of our podcast.
It's, again, this is just my impression, my thoughts that I've always had for the movie when I was a kid and still watching now. I hate those certain parts that just I don't know, like, you know, remember when they were trying their first, you know, RoboCop 2s, when they were showing, you know, like, the early versions when they came in and they're all having their, you know, mishaps or something? Because for me as a kid, I was like, yeah, I feel like this whole movie, RoboCop 2, is a mishap, like those two things. Just,
damn.
You're one of those guys who was writing bad art. You're Siskel and Ebert.
I hated that movie. And like I said, yeah, it is. So, I mean, when RoboCop is doing his shit, when he's getting down, sure, I would like that when that's happening. But some parts just annoyed the living piss out of me and kind of still do. But now I want to hear from two people, obviously, because I know you guys love it so much. So that's what I'd like to hear. I want to hear why people love it so much, because, again, different opinions, different people. So, yeah.
I mean, I like the softball team part, you know.
Yeah. Those fuckers.
Especially when he's like, oh, those little bastards.
They are!
Well, I mean, that's the point. It's one of the funny things. It's like, here is a bunch of kids that are robbing a store. To me, that's hilarious.
Rotten as shit. It shows, my God. It's like, okay, all your pants are rotten because they don't know what their coach is. It's like, is this from your rotten ass coach? Instead of teaching you softball, baseball, he's teaching you how to rob people. Yeah. And if he's not, is it your rotten ass parents? It's like, oh, I just feel like, go on.
Yeah, go ahead, Tyler. I'm just gonna sit here.
I feel like Joe's missing the point with that. You know, like when I saw this as a kid, to see Hobb, you know, with Kane's gang carrying a gun and cussing and attacking police officers, I bought it because, you know, at that time, you know, it also, like on the VHS copy of this, they have a little PSA of. Peter Weller telling kids to not do drugs. And since this movie is heavily based about this new drug called Nuke, you've got a young boy who's in this gang helping selling drugs. And when this movie came out, I was well aware of like the heavy drug use of teenagers and young kids and things like that was going on. So to see this child running around with a machine gun and talking to Officer Duffy about how many police officers per car and things like that, it all made sense to me. And that the softball or the Little League baseball team being used by their coach to rob stores, like that's just a sign of the times that that crime is out of control. There are no police on duty. It made perfect sense. It's out there. And by the way, one of the kids that's on that Little League team is Little Eddie Spaghetti from the original It.
That's an interesting tidbit. Ty was just sitting there waiting for it to be like, hey,
I'm waiting.
How about this trivia?
And Joe just kind of sits. Joe's probably not at all.
JSP's asking if I'm wearing a Canon shirt, and yes.
That looks cool as shit. That is a cool shirt.
I'm trying to remember.
From the stores you ordered online?
Rottencotton.com.
Yeah, rottencotton.com. So if you guys want to go and check that out.
What did you say that site was?
Rotten Cotton.
Oh, never mind. I thought you said something else. Okay.
Is it like the Tremors thing all over again?
I actually thought you said Rotten Cunt. I was like, wait, what? It's like, huh? I really did. I was like, what fucking...
like to buy clothing from.
I was like, well, what site is this? All right, go ahead.
No, like RoboCop 2, I think it carries on the same level of violence. Siskel and Ebert said it was a mean-spirited film. I think he even said it about Predator 2. And so I'm like, yes! And this is another prime example, you know, as the 90s, as we're heading into the 90s, eventually they start veering away from box office, you know, rated R films. So I think it's great that this is a film that didn't shy away from the source material, that they were not afraid to throw in a lot of four-letter words, a lot of, you know, people being gunned down all over the place. You're seeing, you know, the opening scene, just how bad the violence is, where everybody's getting mugged from... little old lady is being robbed by this, you know, generic, you know, guy on the street, and then he's robbed by these two beautiful hookers who want to buy a nuke, and they're stomping on with their spiked heels, and it's great. And then a gun store blows up as the girls are walking by, and just more chaos after the other. And the only cop on duty that we see is RoboCop. You know, it's just great that things are so out of control, and OCP doesn't care because they're just worried about trying to take over the city so they can build the new Delta City. I mean, I don't see that the violence and everything that's going on is being goofy or that it's satire, at least in that regard, because, I mean, even in the first film, crime is getting really, really bad. Police officers threatening to go on strike because they don't have the manpower or the weapons or the equipment to take on the criminals that are running the streets like the Clarence Monitor Gang, and then we see them on strike in this film, so things are really, really bad with Nuke on the streets and Kane is considered himself Jesus Christ. It's great. It's great. It's a fantastic story. Maintains the same template.
We're getting some quick cuts here. I'm sorry to interrupt. We're getting cuts like Tyler's talking, and then Joe's like his earbud headset thing is kind of like, I guess, catching noise or something. So it's just Tyler, Joe. I don't know if either of you guys like noticed that at all.
No, it's everything
you're
is
gonna, you're gonna give everybody that's watching us live right now like a seizure.
Yeah, it's everyone's just their heads are just gonna blow up because they can't handle the magnitude of my passion for RoboCop 2.
I'm trying to make sure my earbuds don't touch nothing. Yeah, everybody's wondering. Yeah, I'm not wearing my headset this week. I'm wearing earbuds because my body's on fire from what I was doing outside before I got in. When I wear those headset, it was making me hotter. And like I told Tyler and Nathan, the headset usually helps keep the mask secured more to my to my hood. See, look, I even lost complete signal right now. I'm just showing Battle Cat and Anti-Attorney Battle Cat. It's not even showing me. So
we're trying to plug stuff.
Yeah, I'm having bad connections. But anyways, I'm sweating so much that my mask now is just sticking to my face. So that's why I don't need the headset. So the headset would make it worse. But
I always tried to encourage Joe this week to just turn his camera off, take his mask off, and then he won't be so hot. But he's got to keep the gimmick alive. We got to keep kayfabe going here.
Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah, keep talking because maybe I will try something. Go ahead. You guys talk. I'm going to try something. I mean, yeah, go on.
All right. Well, I guess.
Tyler's sitting here like, yeah, RoboCop.
Yeah.
I love RoboCop too. Trust me. Right. Like, probably not as much as Tyler. I'm not going to sit here and just, it's great, but like I like it a lot. In the first 15 minutes that we were talking on our first go through on this is I would have it a couple notches down, but it is Tyler had mentioned before, it's kind of like a perfect streamline. It's almost like a Halloween 2, you know. They feel very connected, as unlike RoboCop 3 that just feels like it's entirely cast off way over here, you know, like just a different feel. Which I can we talk about RoboCop 3 for a second? Because
can we? I don't want to talk about it. That movie was horrible.
It came out at a point too, you know, like the animated series is kicking off and they're starting to like come out with the toys and everything, and obviously that has an effect, so they notched it down to a PG-13. And the story itself was just very bad.
I hated it.
What's so awesome about what Nathan just said, though, is that the animated series and toy line come out in the late 80s. RoboCop 2, I think, came out in 1990, and they're still making another rated R RoboCop. So even though it's been marketed to kids, we're going to carry on with the R rating. And I think that's why, you know, Orion went with the PG-13 for RoboCop 3, is that RoboCop 2 didn't do as well as they thought. I guess we couldn't get the kids in. But, you know, you got to forget, man, people, it's like it wasn't meant for kids to begin with. You know, it's like with so many other R-rated movies, you know. We can't help that, you know, our parents raised us on healthy doses of rated R movies, knowing full well it wasn't meant for kids. You know, it's what we appreciate and enjoyed it so much because we weren't supposed to be watching it, but that's what made it even more special, is that we were allowed to watch it, but you couldn't repeat this, or you had to fast forward to that scene, but you still got to watch it. You know, or if you're like Nathan's dad, you go to the theater and just sit through the whole thing and no eyes covered up or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, the only time he covered my eyes is when there was nudity. Like, he didn't care about the language. And the funny thing about this film is he actually took us to me and my cousin to go see it, and we didn't finish it because there at the shootout scene when Kane is, you know, in the suit and everything now, and he busts in on the mayor and all those guys.
That's where it stopped?
Yeah. So I missed like a good 25-30 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there during that shootout, you know, and it's like, I remember it vividly when that part comes up because it's a really darkly lit scene, and then there's those bullet holes that are going through everywhere, and you get like that little bit of light that's coming through them. And the film just like stuttered all of a sudden and then did the breakaway like melty thing. And we were just sitting there like, and then they came in there and they're like, the film broke. We're not going to be able to fix it.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't get a chance to go back because that following week they were playing in another movie. So, that sucked. We didn't get to finish it until it came out on video to rent. So that was a huge bummer. But it's kind of the thing that like my dad took me to this and just didn't think twice about it. Actually, there wasn't
any.
Obviously your dad was very cool with this stuff, but like there's certain moments in the film. Like I'm just curious if like your dad like leans over and asks if you're okay or if he says it like, well, like when they bring Officer Duffy in and they kill him. When Kane brings in the surgeon to slice open Duffy's chest while he's alive with no teeth or anything, just going to torture the guy before they kill him. As a kid watching him, I'm like, geez, man, this is, I mean, and you don't, all you see is a little bit of blood, but the actor playing Officer Duffy's selling it. And the surgeon's like, shouldn't the kid leave? He's like, why? And now Kane takes Hobbs' head and turns it and makes sure, like, no, you're going to watch this guy being cut open alive.
Yeah, that's like, kind of what my dad did when we were sitting there watching it in the theater.
Brilliant.
No.
I'm curious, did at the point when the film broke, did you think it was an inside gag, like it was part of the movie? You know, like how, you know, first, you know, we know they have the, you know, the fake commercials that we seen. And remember when we seen in Gremlins, you know, I don't know if it was this. Yeah, remember where they broke and then Hulk Hogan's there. And so were you expecting that or did you think, oh, shit, it really broke?
I didn't know what the hell was going on. I didn't think either or. I'm just like, and then dad's like, yeah, I think the film just broke.
Well, I've never seen that happen and, you know, actually happen. So that would have been so bizarre to see. Shit, well, I don't know how they...
This theater, too, was kind of like... Because it ended up closing, I want to say, maybe like 6 months to a year later. It was definitely reaching its point where it wasn't in good condition anymore, you know, and they weren't wanting to pump... The town wasn't wanting to, like, help put money into it, so... I think it closed shortly after that, and then, man, it was out of commission for, like, the longest time, and they just now got it renovated and everything. They don't play new movies there anymore, but they do.
They do?
Man.
Yeah, they play doo-doo there.
Yeah, they play doo-doo.
Do they even have film reels anymore, or do they stream movies a different way? I was curious. I didn't know if they had film reels.
What they do is kind of that typical... bullshit that some of these theaters like to pull when they're like, oh, we're gonna show an old movie. And you know, there are these theaters that actually get the film reel and everything, but I think most of the time now it's just they hook a player into the projector or whatever and just play like Blu-ray or something, you
know, like the Phantom event, like, which I mean, it's I think I've only gotten to see maybe one or two or like original prints like as an adult. Like I got to see Ghostbusters, like an original print of that at a old school theater and down in Roanoke, but other than that, for the most part, yeah, it's either I do remember when Nathan and I went to go see a showing of the original King Kong in Blacksburg at the Lyric Theater, which is like an old school, you know, one screen cinema with the marquee, much like Nathan's Pulaski Theater was, but they were projecting a small square of King Kong on the screen. So you get the small square in the center of the screen, and then you got the rest of the screen just completely empty. I was so pissed off about that. You know, it's this real pissant projection. But now, even though it's not an original print, it's still cool to be able to see, you know, the actual film on the screen. It's not an original print. It's through Fathom Events for the most part, or some other, you know, like the Alamo Draft House does screenings and stuff like that too. But it's still cool to go back and see a lot of these films on the big screen. I mean, in case you guys didn't know, Die Hard's going to be playing in November through Fathom Events for 2 days. So,
what does that mean? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but what's a Fathom Events, or what is that? Something across the entire United States, or what does that mean?
It's a tie-in through Regal Cinemas. Regal Cinemas is a chain, and we've got one in our area, and we've got another one, I think, in Roanoke. Or at least I think they're tied into to Roanoke, I think, even though it's not Regal. But Regal's a chain, much like how AMC Theaters is, Frank's Cinema. I don't know what other chains there are, but Fathom Events is like a satellite projection feed that they'll do like specials of Broadway musicals or plays, and they also do like me and Nathan saw screenings of First Blood, The Exorcist. Jaws, all through Fathom events.
First Blood, that must have been fun to see there.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was, and they're never like they're advertised heavily on Facebook if you subscribe to Fathom. But every one of these screens we go to, there's maybe 10, 15 people max at that.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a whole lot of people at them, and it's always one screening for 2 days. Like,
The thing that I was about to say that I hate about it is the way that they schedule these things. It's like, oh, okay, it's on a Tuesday and then like a Thursday. And I'm like, I'm always at work. Like, I can never get time to go to these things half the time. They need to start putting them like on a weekend day, even if it's a Sunday or something. Like,
it's either Sunday and Wednesday. Like when I saw The Karate Kid, it was just one night only. Like Wednesday, 7 o'clock. That's it. There was no other screenings on the weekend. Because normally it's a Sunday noon at a, like 2 and a 7 o'clock, and then Wednesday there's a 7 o'clock also.
But when you say Karate Kid, you mean the first one, not that third one, the Abomination, right?
Oh, no, had Fathom decided to play Karate Kid Part 3, I'd have gladly went to go see that in theaters.
Oh, dear God. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, the original played for one night.
All right.
It was a tie-in with the Cobra Kai series, so they played the first two episodes of Cobra Kai, and then they followed that up with the original Karate Kid afterwards.
Man. Wait, you're just shitting me, right? You're just shitting, right?
No.
Wait, really?
It was the Fathom events for one night only. It was strictly a 7 o'clock showing. In Regal Cinemas, Fathom Events was doing a tie-in to help promote the Cobra Kai series. So they played the first two episodes and then played the original Karate Kid.
No kid. This is just recent you did this in, huh?
Yeah, because the series dropped this past Wednesday. The week before that, like a week to the day, they had the screening of the Karate Kid.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that Cobra Kai, I've seen the first two episodes. It's great, and yeah, I'll have to see the others.
Yeah, you gotta hurry up and watch the rest of them, Joe, so we can fucking talk about it on this show.
Twice, the entire series twice. So I don't want to hear that Joe's gonna be like, "Oh, man, guys, I'm gonna wait and watch one episode a week now. Come on, guys."
I'll definitely get that YouTube red, and I'll watch the rest of the series this week. That you can take that to the bank.
Yes, because we want to be able to talk. It is so damn good. I mean, me and Nathan were talking about it for like a good 15, 20 minutes felt like before we did Capes and Commentaries, because it was just so good. I mean, it's hard not to talk about it right now.
Yeah, so yeah, Joe, if you do indeed watch it this week, if you stick to your guns, then I say that next week's episode needs to be Cobra Kai.
Oh, Cobra Kai. Yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'm going to I'll binge watch it all. I just wish we'd get some Fathom stuff like that around here for our areas. Like I said, the only theater that we have that's real cool, there's this one like in Monroe, Michigan. And it's like I was telling you guys, you can, as long as you go before 6 o'clock any day of the week, admission's only $5. So, you know, that's my kind of money. I can afford that. It's $5. And when you go in, these seats, they actually recline back and forward, and people could still walk in front of you and back in. Don't bump you, all the room you have. It's the coolest thing. You relax, you know. I enjoy those. So, man, if they had some, like, you know, movies from the 80s or 90s that they popped up there for old times.
That's how, when I went and saw The Karate Kid, the theater has got, and Nathan's been recent too, the recliner. It's got a full recliner.
I haven't been there since they've installed those new seats.
I thought when you went to the theater like last week or the weekend before, you guys were.
No, I talked about it, but we didn't make it out.
Oh, well.
It was one of those things, you know, going back to that movie theater rant, I'm just like, I can't do it.
Every time I go,
it's always just a terrible experience now.
Well, to make you feel better, I had to snap at two girls who were talking during Karate Kid. Like they were quiet as hell during the Cobra Kai, but as soon as the movie starts, like,
it was too old for them, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it was about, but they shut up. They were nice because I was cool about it, but to check Joe, because you may have a theater like that may carry Fathom that's not Regal, so just check.
Okay, and yeah, because like I said, it's just me being ignorant. It's not like the theater is called Fathom. It's just
that's the company that does, that's the promotion. It's
Fathom, okay.
Facebook, and this summer they'll be playing big for two nights.
Oh, I'd like to see it. Well, I'll take it. I mean, I'll No, I will definitely take a look because, like I said, I usually don't get to the theater as much just because it is money-wise. But when I know that some of these new movies and they're coming to that Monroe Theater and it's $5, like, okay, I could take advantage of that. So since I usually don't go much to the movies because of money, I guess I've never paid attention. But now I will look. And, yeah, I'd love to see Big or anything, any of those, some of them great classics, 80s, 90s movies.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, they play a lot of crap, you know, stuff that nobody would turn out for, but... Recently advertised Big and Die Hard will be playing for two nights in November. So I'm like, all right. I fear me and Nathan both will definitely be going to see Die Hard. I
was like, hopefully, if I'm not fucking working.
Well, there's a showing on a Sunday and there's one on a Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we'll go to the Sunday one then.
There you go.
But yeah, Joe, if you go to like the Fathom, because they got a website and you can just put in your zip code and it will show you like what theaters will be playing that event near you.
Well, I'll definitely check now, you know, because like, you know, you might go with somebody and let's say you get a big Slurpee and you can get all them refills and, you know, you both want to have like your own refills and a lot. And in wintertime, you could just get a styrofoam cup that you could just, you know, put in your coat. And you can take it in there, and then when you sit down in the theater, you can grab the one that's the actual Slurpee that was filled up, and you can pour it into your styrofoam cup, and then you go and refill the other. And it's just
I can just see Joe waltzing in the movie theater with his mask on and like a big ass trench coat, and everyone's like creeped out by him.
I'm just trying to save you guys some money, you know.
Party. You know, he's like walking around like a big dildo, like in his trench coat pocket too, getting ready to explore over Matt Damon.
I'm just trying to save you guys money. I've never bought like candy and things and stuff like at the theaters because it's so expensive. So I just put them in pockets or coat pockets. You know, that's why I love the winter the most. When summertime comes, I'm pretty much screwed and I just don't get nothing. But
shorts. You wear shorts in a lot of pockets because I'll stuff protein bars like in both pockets and just buy a $5 bottle of water.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, that's what I mean. You take your stuff in there. It's like, who's going to pay that? Who's like, you know, back in the day, remember you go and you see they have a Hershey bar there, $1.50. It's like, I can get this for 45 cents. Why would I pay for $1.50? But, you know, it's for big families and for the kids screaming at mom and dad saying, get me candy. So, yeah, I was just trying to give you some tips, and Tyler gave some tips. Summertime, wear some baggy shorts, and you can still get that food in there and save money and just enjoy it for the movie.
Chris Simpson is telling me that I need to quit my job. No, I can't do that. It pays very, very well. And he's also saying thrifty tips with a motto, which I think could be like a cool little section of the podcast that we'll start doing, where every week Joe just gives us tips on how to save money. And
if there's better. If there's anybody that can do that, that's going to be my cheap ass. So yeah, it could be cheap ass thrifty tips with Joe Amato.
Joe needs to make it like an interest like Mr. Rogers. Like, we need to see Joe put on his scarf and his coat and all that stuff and then sit down like at a desk and have this nice kind of pleasant background. Like, Joe needs to be sitting in his kitchen, you know, and telling people how they can conserve money by going and eating at their local McDonald's off the dollar menu. Because Joe is prone to doing this kind of nonsense, not just going to the movies, but for purchasing a He-Man subscription through Maddie Collection, you know, or how to save up money to buy a custom, or how can, you know... buy the best toilet paper.
And Tyler, since you brought that up, I'm gonna give you a tip for McDonald's. There's a sandwich there that some people
go to McDonald's.
No, listen, this is for fans. There's some people that absolutely hate the sandwich, some that love it, and it's the Big Mac. And some people love it because of that Mac sauce, some hate it because of Mac sauce. But these Big Macs are over $4, like $4.30, whatever. I was like, well, here's Joe Amato's cheap way to get a Big Mac. Minus the sesame seed bun, but you're still getting more buns. Just get two double hamburgers. And those double hamburgers are, I think, $1.19. So $1.19, you got $2.38 right there. You can get a side of Mac.
He's breaking down the math.
I am. I'm going to hit it up for you. You get a side of Mac sauce. They charge you a quarter. So you're up to $2.63. Lettuce is free, so they don't charge you the lettuce, and you get lettuce. And if you want a piece of cheese, I think that's another 25 cents. So for $2.88, you can make your own Big Mac, and you, instead of two pieces of meat, you're getting four pieces of meat. And you're also getting your mac sauce, your cheese, your onions, and everything. The only thing is you don't get that sesame seed bun on the top, but it's the same damn thing, same size bun, same size meat. Instead of paying $4.30 for a Big Mac, for $2.88, you're getting a bigger Big Mac because you're getting four pieces of meat instead of two. That's Joe's tip at McDonald's. So there you go. Yeah, that's what I gave it. There's your cheap-ass savings. You're saving money at McDonald's.
That might be different here because, like, the food tax here is pretty high. I don't know what it's like where you're at, but
maybe my poor area is better. But
ask them this: where you just like, well, how much is the lettuce and how much is the cheese? I love that we're going like we talked for about RoboCop for like 10 minutes. I think we spent more time talking about how cheap ass you are and getting a cheap Big Mac at McDonald's, and we have RoboCop.
Well, hey, it's that side rant that happens, but Tyler brought up a McDonald's thing. I help people out. There you go. Save money and get more food at McJoe's.
Wonderful rant. Doesn't matter what time you finish, Joe, just how long you went. Good.
Yeah, it went on for a bit, but hey.
You ain't talking about movies. You're talking about, you know, welcome to a model's people.
Oh, God.
You don't hear Joe laugh too much, so if Joe's cracking up.
Hey, I mean, everyone in the chat, Jake Juggalo is saying that we need to hurry up and wrap this show up so he can go to McDonald's and do what you were just talking about.
Hey, there you go. You tell me how it works, bud.
Get back to us, Jake, and let us know if his math was correct and if the lettuce is indeed free.
And what did JSP just say? Thrifty tips on how to get a heart attack from Joe Amato.
Yeah, you go there, get your cheap-ass Big Mac, and then go mow 7 yards like Joe did this weekend.
Yeah, free.
Oh, God. All right, you guys transition back into RoboCop 2.
All right, RoboCop 2. Well, there is one thing that I want to bring up that I... Joe, there's nothing you can really argue with this, I don't think.
Okay.
The special effects. They're masterfully done.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I have no complaint with the special effects. Like I said, I liked them, and I love that ending battle with him and Kane. No, I did. I enjoyed all the special effects quite well. I guess, like I said, the thing that just... Like I said, I already explained about the kids and all that shit, but, you know, in the first RoboCop, you know, there's so many of his bad gang, you know, and he's going after every one of them, and it just was so iconic, every one of these bastards, and, like, some of those deaths, like Tyler said in the first one, when one guy got splashed to just shit when he was melting from that toxic waste, that's one of the most, it's one of the grossest and also funniest things, because when do you and your dad laugh at a damn murder or somebody dying on TV? But I tell you what, every time that comes on, and me and my dad, if we see that scene, we crack up and then also go, oh, I mean, when do you laugh and they go, oh, at the same time? But, you know, it's just, he had those memorable fights and people and the bad guys. And in this one, I was like, okay, we got Kane, of course. I was like, but then, like you said, just, I guess, you know, Detroit, just everybody is being, you know, hey, there's no control, there's no law, so everybody's assholes. But it's like, but to me, they just weren't memorable, as memorable. Kane is, yes, but that little shit bastard kid who's supposed to be the mob boss, I was like, I can't take him seriously. I hate that little kid.
The kid did a good job playing Hob.
I mean,
I hated that little fucker.
Point, right? Like,
I just hated him. He was just annoying little shit. I was like, you're nobody. I could snap your neck. It's like, I don't see you as an intimidating opponent or bad guy. You're just an ass. I don't know. I mean,
that was the point of that, though.
It was, but it was a point to where it annoyed me more than, you know, intimidated me. Like, the first RoboCop with all those bad guys, like, damn, these, you know, the people that are fucking, like, scary, you know, men and weapons and shit, and look what they could do. It's like, they're scary. It's like, oh, God, I'd be frightened if I came across some of these people with these guns or what they do. But I was like, this little kid, he just annoys me. But like you said, that is the point.
Pain, though, that's the thing, is that this little child is working for old Detroit's biggest crime lord. So you feel like if you piss this kid off, I mean, it's not like he's going to go run and tell. I mean, obviously, he would pull a gun on you, too, because he's always packing. And he's always got somebody with him as muscle, you know, to kind of help with that. So I feel like it just seemed like it was a sign of the times that this little boy is got his way into the crime and drug selling and things. I mean, it just made sense. You know, obviously, he wasn't as evil as Kane because when he sees, you know, Kane killing Duffy, you know. But obviously, after that, when they think Kane is dead or been arrested, he takes over the operation and Kane's girlfriend doesn't buy into it, but then the fact that he's holding out on the nuke, I mean, she buys a plan and sinker. The mayor doesn't buy it when they go to make a deal with Hobb and the rest of Kane's
right. Dad,
he doesn't buy the fact that this little boy, this is the kid that's going to buy us out of our debt. And then when the truck pulls up, all right, I guess that's the case. And then he makes a point, we're selling nuke. Leave us alone. We don't shove it down anybody's throats. Here's the money. Buy yourself out of debt and knock out OCP. I mean, it just didn't seem, you know, and like I said, or like we said before, kids can be very irritating in films. They really can. And I understand Joe's complaint. However, I didn't think it was valid for this film because I didn't think they portrayed the little boy as an obnoxious brat. You know, because it really could have been done really, really bad. Because kids can ruin films because people don't know how to direct kids. It doesn't happen too often where it's done right. But I felt this is...
It's hailing like shit here, just in case you're hearing rumbling. It's actually hailing like crazy against the house.
I was laughing earlier because, like, Tyler would talk, and then it would switch to you, but it sounded like you were just breathing kind of heavy. You'd hear, like, this little buzz and just, like, a noise.
I don't know what that was. It might have been the...
Breathing sounds like the ending of a sleepaway camp.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I actually wasn't breathing heavy, but we were having lawnmowers going, that was going by. So I've had a lot of background sound effects, and you know what? Half of this might be happening because I'm not wearing my headset. So sorry about all this extra noise.
I'm not hearing anything other than myself talking here.
And see, I can like barely hear Tyler, so I have to like turn him up, and then when I turn him up, and then you talk, it's kind of loud, and I got to turn it back down.
Yeah, this probably a lot of people want to turn me down.
Podcast here.
What'd you say, Tyler?
Never mind.
I can't even hear him now.
What?
There we go. Now I can hear you.
All right. Well, all right. Back to
yeah. It's the best episode ever.
All right. What about like the design? I mean, it's fun to have, you know, to see RoboCop's nemesis being another killer robot. You know, in terms of like, did you find Kane's design original and imposing as opposed to Ed 209? You know,
it was still original. No, I mean, I did. I liked Kane's RoboCop 2. I did like his design. I had no problem with it. I like how the body could spin and turn around and all them crazy-ass guns and stuff. I mean, of course, I always loved Ed 209, too, because I was like, that's a big some bitch, you know? I mean, he looked intimidating, like, good God. He was scary, you know, like, you know, when he started giving his warning. But, no, I mean, I liked the design of that RoboCop, and especially because he seemed like he could be, as you've seen, more agile, especially when he was coming up that, like, elevator shaft. You know, that was scary.
Creepy shot as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid. And it still is. It still freaks me out. If I watch that movie, it's like, that is frightening because not just the thought of how he's coming at you, but the speed. You know, it showed this is a very agile, you know, robot. So, no, I loved his design.
I would agree to that. I thought his design was really awesome. I didn't have any problem with that. I didn't even have an issue with, you know, when the screen comes up and you see his face. I mean, it's 1990. It wasn't going to look like super, super amazing, but...
But even by today's standards, I think it looks cool because it's the mindset, it's the brain operating through, you know, computers, you know? So I thought it was just fun to have this animation that resembles Tom Noonan's face to amplify his emotions temporarily because it doesn't do it a whole lot. You know, like when he comes in and he kills everybody during the big meet between the mayor and the gang, and he sees his girlfriend, he comes out and is kind of like, you know, wanting her to touch his hand, and then he just snaps. I just thought that was creepy as a kid, because then he grabs her by the head and breaks her neck.
That was pretty nasty.
I felt bad for her.
As a kid, you know, just, oh my God, because she's so beautiful in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and just he just dismantles her like that, and then the way he's just mowing down all those, you know, people in there, like I mean, it just made you feel bad for everybody who got mowed down. I mean, the Hobb gets killed. Of course, when he dies, it's kind of sad because when RoboCop finds him, you know, he's there and tells him to lie still. He's like, don't leave me. Like, I don't want to die. He's like, you know what that's like. He's like,
I'm cold.
It's a good scene that this kid is this little, you know, prick throughout the whole movie. But, you know, it's a tender moment for RoboCop. You know, you can still hate the kid at the end and be glad that he died.
I would.
didn't watch this child die. Shut up, Joe.
I was so happy with that little fucker neck.
Sandwich or whatever it is.
I'm kind of surprised that they didn't take it and actually like show him getting shot. You know, they just implied where he like hid in there and then he shot it up. I'm surprised they didn't show that. And I miss the packs that they would use that would like pop off.
Oh yeah.
And explode. Like I wish they did that more in movies today because it just looks really cool.
It does. Of course, it looked awesome in the first one. Mr. Kenny gets blown up in the boardroom meeting. You know, just the blood packs bursting all over the place. Joe, did you ever see the X-rated or the X-rated cut of RoboCop, Joe?
No, I thought the one that I seen was damn violent enough. I loved it. I didn't know there was an X-rated.
Still haven't seen that X-rated cut.
No.
God, man, Joe. Joe, Nathan, send him a copy of that and tell him he can't say no.
He would say no anyway.
Well,
okay. And that's only if it was free. If you just had a free, like, burned copy, but if you were paying, I'd say, don't you do it. So, yeah. What?
I don't think I have that. I don't know if I do have that burned copy anymore. I may have given that to someone else, but I do have. Maybe I don't anymore.
Oh, then there you go. Then that would mean you have to buy it. So yeah, I'll have to find another means of seeing this sometime. Maybe it'll be available online for viewing.
Well, I'm sure the clips are. I mean, because by today's standards, you know, it's probably not. But when you've seen the film as many times as I have, I mean. It is excessive. Like, you see more of Murphy's death and Mr. Kenny being torn
to. Oh, I have to see it. I mean, because I mean, the first one, like I said, it was just so damn brutal and gory and just, but awesome. That's what that first one is definitely known for. And just to know there's more blood and gore, it's like, yeah, I'd love to see that. Definitely.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be that hard to find. It may be on YouTube to see.
Question about, you know, Kane and, you know, like, you know, his mind and everything, and with the robot, do you think that even without the brain, the computer/cyborg part of it still could work without the brain for a short period of time, long period of time? Because, like, at the end,
I don't think so, simply because the whole point of them wanting to do RoboCop 2 is they wanted to. I mean, that's why they were screening when a Dr. Fax is looking to. We're gonna get criminals. We're gonna get people on death row because RoboCop. First worked so well because it was a police officer, he was a good man. Let's do it again, but we gotta have someone.
Well, the reason I'm asking is at the end, because you remember when he rips out his brain, and there's a short period of time where still the robot itself screen looks before he smashes the brain, like he knows and like he's afraid, like, oh my god, you're gonna smash it. It's like the computer part of the robot was still thinking, or was that just a short-term thing, do you think? You know what I mean? Do you think that was something they should have done? Or, you know what I mean? It's just like he was looking at it, like, oh god, don't smash my brain.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, since, you know, the Kane robot can have thoughts and emotions, things like that, and obviously they're trying to show that he's suffering and screaming because his brain's just been ripped out. But once it's dead, obviously, I mean, it's connected. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think it was just done for dramatic effect.
Oh, okay, okay.
Other than that, but not, I don't think that, because that's the whole point of the RoboCop 2 project, was that, like the in that great sequence where they show the failed RoboCop, is the one that puts a bullet in his head, the one that pulls the mask off and just sprints.
That was hilarious. I love all those little things. It's just the, oh man, that's a really good part.
Was that what you want to call maybe that was the mini yuck fest moment of the movie? It was just that part right there.
Those yucks were funny.
It worked.
It wasn't, you know, all right, let's stop every few seconds and tell another joke. And all right, and if people want to sit there and say, well, what about when RoboCop was reprogrammed? It's done for a purpose, and Peter Weller does a very good job of selling the, you know, when he's reading Miranda rights to a corpse, and he stops and does this. I'm having trouble. You know, and then when he stops to turn off the fire hydrant, and the kids cuss him out, and they spray paint, he walks back, and then sees a guy light up a cigarette, and fires his gun at the guy smoking a cigarette, and says, thanks for not smoking. You know, it's playing off the fact that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's taking everything, and you know, he's losing his mind over smoking. But these kids are just playing at the water hydrant. You know, he's not in control. You know, and it's just it. Damn it, it works. It works. God, really, any true fan of RoboCop should not have to defend the good humor that's in. There's good humorous moments in the first film. And if people want to refer to, well, Tyler, this humor or that, and you don't like humor in movies. Well, you know what? I like humor in movies. Just not smear from the very damn beginning to the very end, thrown in with a bunch of Chris Pratt bullshit.
You know, when Tyler just... Nathan, when Tyler just said it works. How he said it like that, it reminded me of the guy talking about wrestling. It's still real to me, damn it. Just almost sounded like...
That guy.
It's almost sounded like, just switch it. It works.
Because it does work. But all you guys are laughing at all the stuff that we pointed out in this movie. Joe's complaints about the kids in the film. He's not complaining about the humor that's in the film. So all three of us can agree that the Robocop's blowing their brain out.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
It's funny. You know, it's satire. It's just.
Shot the one, remember? Yeah, because remember how it kind of went a little berserk? Shot the one person, shot the other person, and then they shot himself.
Yeah. People, and puts a bullet in his head, too.
I like the failed attempts. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was great. And like in the first Robocop, and it's done for, you know, small comedic purposes. Like when Ed 209 dies, and Robocop blows him up, and his body, his lower torso is falling, and this fan's spinning, and he falls over, and this toga is, you know, falls out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's for like a little kind of gag, and it's good. It's funny, and then you move on, you know, and it's not stopped again to be more jokes and more funny because we make the kids laugh, you know. Let's hang something from Ed 209's crotch and make it look like it's balls, like in Transformers 2, you know, or something like that. You know, there's nothing like that going on in this movie. You know, it's people who like the RoboCop films 1 and 2, at least they get the humor and they don't feel like it detracts away from the story it's trying to tell. You know, because it's violent, it's aggressive, it's gory, it's not holding back, and you can still have time to have a couple of good jokes and just keep moving on and stop repeating the same damn notes over and over again. You know, that, God, you know what? Just makes me want to sit there and say, you know, that Cobra Kai series was more serious and intense than that piece of shit Infinity War movie.
How did it come back to that? Boy, Tyler really hates that Infinity War. It's like, yes, we're not even close to that. It'll come up. That's like my McDonald's rant. It's like, where the hell did that come from?
I'm talking about movies here. I'm not talking about how you can say fuck.
It's still out of nowhere. He's like, I'm going to find a way to bring up that damn Avengers Infinity War.
It's still stinging, man. It's still stinging.
He's like, I hate that fucking movie. Go ahead, Nathan. You haven't said anything in a while.
I agree with Tyler on the humor in this. Like, it's perfect. But it is also funny when you think about it that Tyler does have this, I would call it a fine line of, like, humor spectrums of what's too much and what's... It's interesting.
There are so many good examples of movies that all right, here's an example. I don't know how well, I think Joe knows this movie pretty well. I don't know how well Nathan knows it, but 48 Hours.
Oh, yeah.
48 Hours with Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte. It's an action film. It has a lot of jokes in it, but it's done perfectly because, well, for one thing, Walter Hill is balls to the wall, like impolite about the content in the film. You know, he's playing off the fact that, you know, Nick Nolte's throwing racist remarks to Eddie Murphy, and Eddie's throwing them right back at Nick Nolte. They're constantly in each other's faces. They're being mean to each other and ugly. It's not, you know, castrated jokes. These guys really don't like each other here. And that works, you know.
No, it works well. You're right. It's still an action. It's serious. The jokes that are told in it aren't something that takes you out of the moment and then make it feel silly. It works for what they're trying to do for that moment. So, yeah. And
that's a prime example. Or like American Werewolf in London. I mean, you don't know whether it's... to me, it's a horror movie with comedy in it. But the horror is throughout the whole film. The comedy is a little bit here and there. You know, it's... That's,
you know, for like me, I know you guys know more of the behind-the-scenes stuff of people that direct and the producers and writers and companies and whatever, but for example, like Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. I love Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, especially 1. Really love it. But when 3 came, something just fell off. I mean, just the music that they played, the way the movie was paced, and also even the jokes felt like they were trying too hard. It's like, this ain't working. So I don't know if in the first two Beverly Hills Cop movies, if that was done by the same people, but it worked. But I don't know if you guys remember 3 at all, much at all, but it did not work, and it didn't feel like it belonged with the series to me.
No, I think I've only seen, like, the first one. I don't think I've watched any of the sequels.
Yeah.
What about you, Tyler?
Three once, and I remember thinking the trailers looked awesome, but the movie itself was pretty forgettable, and it was directed by John Landis, who directed American Werewolf in London. But I'm pretty sure Beverly Hills Cop 3 is PG-13, whereas 1 and 2 are rated R.
Okay.
I think.
There you go. Stop cutting the balls off of rated R properties and making them PG.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I think it's great that we grew up in the time that we did, because there was a time where, you know what, there was a lot of films for adults. You know, there was plenty of films for kids. It's not like the adults had to sit there and felt like, y'all, you know, adults don't go to movies anymore. It's all about them kids and teenagers. We don't care if they're not watching the film. They'd rather be texting the person they're sitting next to or somebody that's in another state than watch the movie. You know, but back then, man, there was tons of movies for adults, all rated R movies, from dramas to actions to rated R comedies, horror movies. Studios weren't, I mean, it was just like, let's make a good movie. Like, I mean, hell, horror movies. Joe and Nathan, big fans. I mean, we're all big fans of the horror movies of the 80s. All of them were rated R. They all made money. Horror movies today, just really lame-ass ghost movies that are PG-13. Oh, look, another kid possessed. Oh, man, quit.
I'm waiting for that trend to die off, the paranormal horror films, because some of them work fine, but, and I'm not even advocating, like, hey, you know, let's bring back the slasher. I mean, I would love to see it happen, but I don't think they would work as well now.
But I think they could. That's a good combination. There's some that they can. Sure, I mean, not maybe the exact formula, but I still think they could work. But it amazes me, things that scare people nowadays. Like, you know, the thought of a character like Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, I mean, any of them, something like that, Candyman, Pinhead, people like that, if that was real, that would scare the shit out of me. But when I'm seeing all these movies to where, like, the Paranormal Activity, I remember I was like, hey, I will watch this first movie. Let's see what this is about. It's a new scary movie. And it's like about an hour, 15, 20 minutes of them. What was that? And all these cameras and here to this angle. It's like, what the fuck's going on? And then something moves, like a little bottle or fuck, whatever it is. Something moves on a table. Everybody's like, oh, and people are jumping in the theater like, God, y'all fucking pussies? I was like, that scares you? That scares you? And at the end, oh, we see one scene where, oh, somebody gets grabbed and pulls out of the room. I was like, oh, that was worth the whole fucking hour and a half to see this. Like, that sucks. Like, that doesn't scare me at all. And just, for people,
just even more reason that we have to talk about the Cobra Kai series, because it does touch on a lot of that, like, how protected and pussified we are about things now. It's Joe, you gotta watch it.
I will.
That was a reaction I had to watch, and I thought, God, I was so engaged watching that. You know, I got emotionally involved. You got goosebumps during certain moments. When you're done, you're left thinking about it multiple times afterwards. In Infinity War, I'm like, God, all the superheroes act like a bunch of pussies. All of them do.
Another thing about Infinity War.
This is great. Or if it's going to happen tonight on Fans of Power. We talk. Let me say something else about Infinity War.
I hope so. I might go into the chat and just be like, yeah, man, Infinity War or something. How about this? You were talking about 48 Hours and how much you love it. I got the perfect idea for you, and I bet you already know where this is heading. We remake 48 Hours, and it stars Chris Pratt and The Rock.
Oh, man, son of a bitch, just genius. But my nipples getting hard right now.
Oh, God, they better not touch it.
Like, how many 12-year-old jokes can Chris Pratt cram into an hour and 30 minutes? We'll find out soon enough, man.
Yeah, some movies they don't need to remake. They better not touch 48 Hours. Don't touch Beverly Hills Cop. Don't touch the Goonies.
But those movies have got jokes and stuff like that. Like, they could not do Axel Foley today. They sure as hell could not do McNulty in 48 Hours. You know, God, now I'm drawing a blank. I love them. I've watched it so many times. But the content in 48 Hours could not be redone today. As much as they tried to do it with two different characters, and they're playing off the racist remarks of each other. You look at three Rush Hour films. That's a you know, balls cut off version of 48 Hours, essentially, and so to speak, where they're playing off two guys from two different worlds, don't like each other, but somehow they got to make it work. and stop the bad guy at the end of the day. Yes, it's done plenty of times. It can be done well. Hell, I think Bullet to the Head was good, which was directed by Walter Hill, with Stallone in that one. But but if you're going to do it right. And 48 Hours, I feel like it's a movie that's not talked about a whole lot. It's a damn good film. Funny as hell, but when it's time to get serious, the movie stays serious. And really, the comedy doesn't start until Nick Nolte gets Eddie Murphy out of jail. Because up to that point, it's a straight-up cop film. You know, it's not humorous at all until you put Eddie and Nick Nolte together. And even then, you know, it's the action comes and goes all over the place. People are cussing each other and saying racist things to the other, and they're not holding back. And and I'm sure Walter Hill's just pulling his hair out, which is probably why he doesn't make many movies nowadays, is because they probably won't make much money because they are rated R, and people don't go to see rated R movies anymore. They have to go see family films.
Well, I mean, it's not entirely true. There have been rated R films that have come out in the last.
I'm not going to include Deadpool in that because I don't want people to. It's funny. Yes, Deadpool was good. That's not the point. Go ahead. Sorry, Nathan.
No. I was just going to say that there have been rated R films that have come out and made a decent amount of money. Whether or not they're like good is up for debate. But I feel like most of the times now, the only rated R films that have made money, though, I guess, to kind of. Deadpool, yeah, we won't bring that one up. I feel like all the other ones are like the Oscar-nominated things, you know, that people were just like, I have to go and see it. Fuck.
But I don't even count that stuff because I felt like they're doing it so they can get their Oscar nomination. The movie makes no money. People don't care about it. It's not. I often feel like. Someone who makes a movie like Big Trouble in Little China that continues to be paid dividends to Kurt Russell and John Carpenter is so celebrated, was a bomb, would never ever win an Oscar nomination. I would rather be part of a film like that than to, for 1 year, you got Best Picture or Best Director or Best Actor for this film that the masses will never remember. But for one night, you were celebrated, but Big Trouble Little China or something like that, The Thing,
you know what?
Will go on and be so celebrated, and it was, you know, didn't shy away from it, or like Escape from New York, or not just John Carpenter films in general, but movies that, you know what, we're not trying to be the art house film, which I'm not downing independent films or, you know, movies that are just trying to make an Oscar and prove a point about living in Arkansas or whatever. You know, about a little boy named Joe who lives in this barren street in Arkansas, and next door is this quirky girl. She's got black framed glasses. She acts all weird and you know, just wants to be Joe's friend. Joe's like, I don't have time for you right now. And then they really come together because of their passion over Airwolf or something like that.
I was going to say, you know, you were talking about stuff. There's one John Carpenter movie that I pray never gets remade because it is just an amazing classic. Yeah, I'm going to like I said, it is just amazing classic. Just it's just perfect. And that's They Live. They better never make. Don't ever remake They Live.
The way people are so PC and like, you know, people, I mean, because they even said that behind the scenes for They Live, that the movie did very well for 2 straight weeks, and I felt like it pissed off the wrong people, you know, like slamming the high class society people, politicians and things like that. Are you kidding? Jeez, man. Yeah, they if they did it, it would shy away from any kind of remarks about slamming politics and the upper class society and things like that. Oh, God, no, they wouldn't do that today.
Maybe it's all just a cycle, though. Maybe it'll all come back around, you know, because at one point, you know, the country was pretty PC when you think about it. You know, we're going back to, like, what, 50s, 40s, 50s, conservative. And then, you know, it just progressively, maybe it'll kind of cycle itself back around.
Hey, you know what I miss? You know, saying that, Nathan, the stuff that I think I missed the most from that fight, and a couple, believe it or not, of Piper's movies, but just this one in general, it is the fight. You know, the fight that he has with Keith David when they're in that alley, you know, over the whole damn sunglasses. It's like some of the movies nowadays, you know, like when there's maybe a street fight, you know, you'll see a punch or maybe even a kick, or they try to do all these flashy things, but these looked like two guys just brawling and beating the hell out of each other. It was so perfect, and that stuff that I don't think could ever be recreated. It just, that looked like, you can just picture two guys just beating a ball's piss out of each other. Just when you think one's down, he gets up, the other, until they're just completely spent. But I don't know about you, but I love that fight that he had, you know, with Keith David in that alley. That was just damn.
No, awesome. I mean, it's an amazing movie. It's a movie that we need to probably do an episode on, and then talk for about 15 minutes on it, and then Tyler can bring up Infinity War.
Yeah.
I want to rename the episode. I'm not even going to put RoboCop 2 in it. I'm just going to put, like, McDonald's tips, Infinity War ranting, part 17. I was thinking about it while you guys were talking when we were getting into the rated R films thing. John Wick's a good example of something that is rated R and is well done and did pretty well at the box office. Yeah. And I guess can prove that that gritty action film does have a fan base still. I would love to see more action movies that aren't like watered down.
Yeah, and I'm glad Nathan brought that up, because in John Wick, it helps keep the spirit alive of what Red R movies are supposed to be. And they're filming the third one right now. I can't wait for that to wrap up the trilogy here. Yeah. I'll be there okay for that one. But it's they're so few and far between, but they're not shying away from what the movie's supposed to be about. You know, it's not meant for children. It's not meant for teenage boys and girls to go on a date while the guy's trying to paw at the girl, you know, and she's trying to act like she's interested. And I don't know what this is. She's more interested. Like, hell, I don't know what they do.
Is this the couple in your Arkansas movie?
Yeah, this is what the movie about the young Joe, the girl next door. And Joe's trying to put the moves on her, which is a metaphor for, you know, like when they say Michael Myers is penetrating people with a knife. That's a metaphor for him trying to have sex with his victims here.
People haven't really said that, have they, about Michael Myers?
Oh, God, yes. They
what?
I feel like I'm having deja vu now. I feel like we talked about that. Like,
sounds insane, though. It's like, I hopefully forgot it. Wow.
Yeah, but, all right. RoboCop 2.
Fuck, I forgot where
it was. I feel like we're going to kill off any fan base we have, because we can never stick to the subjects.
They should be familiar by now.
I track it even more. JSP brought up the Raid films. Yes, the Raid movies are fantastic. I know that Raid 2, a lot of people were kind of indifferent to, but that was like one of my favorite movies probably in the last 15 years. I loved Raid 2. Like, the first one is great and sets the story, but that second one just, it's kind of like taking the Hotel and the John Wick films and just, like, sort of honing in on that. That's how it felt like. It just opened up this whole other world. I just want to throw that out there. Raid 2 is fantastic. So if anybody in the chat right now or anyone that listens to this in the future, if you have not seen, they named it the Raid Redemption for the first one, and then the second one was just Raid 2. But definitely check those out. You can get, like, the 2-pack on Blu-ray for, like, $13. So seek those out. They are fantastic. The action in them is great. It's some of the best choreographed fight scenes I've seen in a while. Tyler, I know those Tony Jaa movies, it blows those out of the water. It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, which I those were fun to watch. I remember I went back and watched one of the scenes from Ong Bak, the Thai Warrior. I'm like, fight's good, but it just doesn't have that kind of impact on me. I guess it did when I first saw it. Like, it just doesn't resonate with me as much as it did at the time, you know. I don't know why, but I almost feel like it really takes a certain kind of film anymore. It's hard to be impressed by stuff anymore. I mean, it kind of is, and that's why I always feel like, don't worry about going to the movies, because I got a whole library of great films in here, and occasionally something like John Wick comes out, and you're like, oh my God, I wish I'd seen the first one in theaters. Like, I wanted to, but just didn't make it a priority. When I saw it, I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'll make sure I saw the second one. I'll make sure I see the third one, like, multiple times. You know, so it's it just kind of feels like I guess it's maybe it's a sign of the times where the variety, I guess you could say it's a variety, but it just doesn't come off like much of a variety anymore in movie theaters. Like, when you go to the movie, when I last time I went to the movie theater, I just glanced at the movie posters. I'm like, I follow movie news all the time, but I don't know any of these films that are playing right now. Like, none of them. I had no idea any of those films were playing. It's just, I guess it's because I'm pretty far removed, I guess, more than I thought it was.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. Like, there's not that much good stuff that comes out. And, you know, there are those hidden gems. Like, I saw Raid 2 in theaters. I knew what I was getting into, and it had two showings that day. I went to, like, the 2 or the 10:30 showing. Yeah, it was, like, the last showing of the night. And there was one other person in the theater. And I'm just like, shit. Like, but I, between that and the movie posters, because all the movie posters now, just occasionally you get a good one, just like the films, but everything is so generic.
Very lazy.
Yeah. Lazy, yeah. Photoshop jobs.
Yeah. Well, people aren't trying to make interesting poster art. I mean, that's the whole, what, if you're not going to entice people to come to the theater, you know, based on your poster artwork, then don't put one out.
Yeah.
Like, I know. I mean, just rely on putting your name on the marquee selection of, like, hey, 8 movies are playing here. Da 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 da. If you're not going to bother putting together a good poster, then don't bother.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's that was how you entice people to come to the theater. If you're walking down the street and you saw the poster for Jaws 2, you didn't know there was a, you know, there was even making one coming, you know, in June, Jaws 2, like, oh my God, there's another Jaws movie coming, and the poster of him coming after the water skier, you're sold. But yeah, today it's just lazy. It's a lost art. It's like, it makes you wonder. Love to sit in with people who work on movie posters for a living, or produce that kind of artwork, if you want to call it that. And like, are you given any kind of, like, you know, like, priorities about what you put on a poster, or are you just lazy and you're given 12 posters to get them done in 2 weeks and you just slap a bunch of stuff together? You know,
I think there's a documentary on people that made posters back in the day. And I think they touch on it a little bit. I would have to look it up and see what the name of it is. But I think, and if it is even
RoboCop
available anywhere.
Has a cool poster.
Do what?
I said, because RoboCop 2 has a cool poster.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Bring it back to RoboCop 2.
Yeah, I mean, both the teaser poster and the actual poster / VHS box of RoboCop's head and the shadow of Kane's robot reflecting off of it. It's simplistic, and it tells you everything you need to know right there. And the teaser poster of him bursting through the wall, holding his gun, I mean, God, it was...
I mean, at that point, that's all you really needed to do.
No. But God, he got the RoboCop stepping out of the police car in the first RoboCop. Iconic as hell. You know, RoboCop looking serious badass, stepping out of a police car, nothing else. Some of the best movie posters have got the simplest images from all classic monster movies. Is Joe even around?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
He's fanning himself right now.
Okay. I guess the talk is getting too intense for him here. Joe, do you have anything to say about movie posters or RoboCop 2?
No, just movie posters in general. I told you, I miss the really good, excited painting ones. Something that... It wasn't just a cheap picture of, let's take a picture of somebody and then put them on the poster, or just something that didn't feel like it was alive. It seemed like all the posters back then, it just, they had some kind of motion, but especially when they're drawn. I love when I see those painted posters, and I don't know how many movies have painted posters anymore, to be honest. There might be a ton of them, you know, like I said, maybe I don't know.
I think other than when you get like when Mondo puts stuff out that kind of has that look to it, I don't think that they really even release posters that look like that anymore. It's all just like floating head stuff.
Yeah,
there's
just
some creativity, you know, occasionally, like, you know, the Deadpool 2 posters, they'll do different variations of, and those look fine.
Yeah, it's just some of them, like I said, when it's just real people just being slapped on there, or if they just do what looks like to me is just some really cheap 3D lettering or something that looks really computer graphic like, and they plop it on there and just have the name of the movie. It's like, wow, that looks exciting as shit. So yeah, I just miss.
We live in an age where they could take that image, and if they're doing it on a computer, they can like throw a thing on it to make it look like it's fucking painted. Do that, you know?
Yeah, they can.
Like, don't be that lazy. They can fix this. They can fix everything. They just don't want to.
Yeah.
You know where the money's at, and it's in the Yuck Fest superhero films that Tyler doesn't like.
Yeah. I just wish Hollywood would get off that idea that everything's got to be funny. Like, the days of straight up horrors and dramas and action movies are gone. We have to make everything silly and funny and hokey. You know, you just can't have any drama in films. You can't have a serious moment. You can't have emotional impact. No, we got to go for the laughs. You know, scripts are written by guys who write those, you know, 1,000 knee slappers and side splitter books. You know, that's who's writing scripts today. You know, it's
Tyler Baker, the Jim Cornette of film.
I'll take that. I'll gladly take that. You know, which some people will say that Jim Cornette stuck in the past, stuck in the 80s, and Tyler's stuck in the 80s and in the early 90s. But, you know, the formulas still work. And same thing with wrestling. Old school methods can still work in current wrestling, too. So it's not like, you know, so I just wish it was the way that it used to be. You know, but when you see that films can still work using traditional methods and classic storytelling, but people choose not to because we got to go. And I know Hollywood works on trends. Like when Halloween came out, there was a lot of slasher horror movies. And when Friday the 13th came out, there was a lot of knockoffs. I get all that. I understand that. But it just feels like people are, they're just, you know, and when something comes out of nowhere, like, I guess I have to use this as an example, when Deadpool, when they decide we're going to make it rated R and make it the way it was intended to be, everybody's like blindsided. Oh my God, rated R comedy is making the highest grossing rated movie. How did they do it? You know, it just, they're acting like, man, a rated R movie that made money? That never happens. You know, you just kind of feel like, yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, you're right. It never has ever. I guess we got to start doing that now, Alan. Right? You know, just.
I guess I'd be curious to see like when that new Predator film comes out. How? I mean, is it going to be R or is it going to be PG-13? Or have they decided yet?
I'm worried that. I mean, even though Shane Black is behind it, I don't have much high hope for it, and I wouldn't be surprised if Fox pushes for a PG-13 rating. And if it is an R rating, you know, it doesn't guarantee success because Predators was rated R. It's a forgettable film. Alien vs. Predator Requiem is a very forgettable film, and it was rated R too. So at this point, you can slap any rating you want on there. It doesn't guarantee it's going to be good. And that Shane Black's rating, and yes, he helped work on some of the writing for the original film, but he's not Jim and John Thomas. He's not like the one who came up with the idea for Predator and everything like that. And having it take place in, you know, America, like in the small, kind of another small town setting, like Alien vs. Predator Requiem, like, son of a bitch, man. You know, it's, I like the idea of Predator taking place in a city. Like, if you're going to take place in the States, current day, it needs to be New York or something like that, like a big city for him to be running around in, not in the, you know, I don't know. It just, I don't have high hopes for it. I did it first. But when they're making a point that in all their articles, the film's going to have a lot of black humor in it. I'm like, damn it! You know, more jokes! Well, next thing you know, the guy playing the Predator is going to be doing sign language and telling jokes and doing this on, you know.
And then he pulls off his mask and it's Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and it's Chris Pratt doing, yeah, man. Yeah, did you guys see Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom? I was in that movie. Badass, wasn't it, man? The way I just jump out of dinosaurs and talk to raptors with my hand signals because I'm so cool like that. God, go to hell, Chris Pratt.
Yay! I'm glad Tyler is angry. I'm going to hit Tyler with this because there's a question that has been posed to us. And Tyler, do you know the connection between Predator and the Karate Kid? I do not, but I'm going to throw it to you because you might be able to know.
Connection between...
JSP, go ahead and put the answer in the chat so I can hit him with it when he can't figure it out.
I naturally wouldn't think that there is, unless you're talking like actors or something like that. I mean, there's certainly no actors and behind-the-scenes stuff.
Well, when he puts it in there, I'll kind of give you a hint to see if you can figure it out. I do want to say that another thing that I liked about RoboCop 2, to kind of bring it back to there, is the armor. I like how it had like that shiny like blueness to and I like when at the end, you know, he gets his helmet kind of like cut like that, and it's just got like that blue purple metallic. Yeah. I love that look.
Yeah,
has NECA put out a figure of that from the film?
I think it's done to look like the video game RoboCop, but not necessarily RoboCop 2.
Okay.
Because, like, when they did the RoboCop versus Terminator line, like, they've got RoboCop with the blue tint, because I believe that's how he looked in the video game. But I would love it if they did, like, a straight-up one based on RoboCop 2, and give us a Kane figure from NECA. Like, I know, I of course, I still haven't got Ed 209 because I didn't have $80 to spare to buy it. But I would love to see NECA do Kane.
And yeah,
even the two failed RoboCop 2s, you know, the one that blew his head off and then the one with the skeleton head. Like, I would love to see NECA do both of those.
That'd be a pretty cool two-pack, I would think.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And then, you know, they can make Hobbs, so Joe can...
There's it. Joe
like blowing like a big snot water.
Yeah, I might as well and just put it on the screen. Yeah, I'd burn that figure of Hobbs.
All right, Joe, you're staying too quiet here, man. I feel like I'm gas bagging here.
Well, he's probably falling.
No,
tired.
No, I'm fine. It finally cooled off a little bit, so I was getting a little bit back to normal here. But no, I mean, for wrapping up RoboCop 2, it's for me, it's not one of my favorites, but it has its good moments, has moments that really just piss me off and just drive me nuts. But I would watch it any day over the week over the RoboCop 3 movie, which that I don't even ever want to watch again. It's just, I hated that. I hated 3. I seen bits and pieces of the TV series, which was weird to me. Yeah. But yeah, so 2, I mean, if it's on, sure, I'd watch. It's not like I'm doing backflips, but I mean, the first one, I'll watch that damn thing every time it comes on, and now I have to look for this X-rated version because I need to say extra gore. But as for me, RoboCop 2, it's okay, but I mean, just not one of my favorites. But it's fine for certain parts.
You know what? I'm glad though that Joe didn't like it, in the sense that, you know what, we're always not going to agree on this podcast. That's the whole point. You know, even though we pick films that, which, you know, I throw a bunch of films to Joe, RoboCop 2 was the one that he picked. So I assumed that he liked it. Just to kind of find out, he's like, no, it's the worst movie ever. It's the worst Infinity War. But that's good. I like that we are not always going to agree on this stuff, and that the stuff that Joe didn't like, me and Nathan had no problem with.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it interesting. That's what makes, you know, great debating. And I hope Lacey Dean enjoyed all the bitching and complaining I did. She's one of our listeners that told me she thinks I have shit taste in movies, but I'm interesting as hell. So
that's
I
great.
I thank her for that amazing feedback. So hopefully she gets this and enjoyed my thing today.
That's a pretty cool tagline to have under your name, huh?
Yeah, it is. I wear it with a badge of honor.
There you go.
And because Tyler, you're probably not going to get the little trivia question. He says that Jim and John Thomas created a short-lived TV show called Hard Time on Planet Earth, starring Martin Cove.
Okay, no, I did not know that.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well done to that trivia there, because I sure as hell didn't know it.
Joe kind of gave his final thoughts. Tyler, you got any final thoughts on RoboCop 2?
I love it. It's a fun film from my childhood, and I still love it as an adult. I think that the movie's aged extremely well. Phil Tippett's work with Kane, all the special effects were great. The satire's great. Peter Weller brings it like you would expect. Irvin Kershner did a good job. I did. If anybody wonders, I tried to read Frank Miller's comic book adaptation, since Frank Miller is credited with writing the film, even though they didn't do his version. They did like just kind of remnants of what he did in his script or in the final version of this. I tried to read the comic book version. I kind of lost interest, I think, after the first 2 issues, and I stopped getting it for what I probably did, lack of money or something like that, and bought other comic books instead. But I love RoboCop 2. I love it. I'll always enjoy it. I think it's heavily underrated, and I hope there's others out there who, you know, even if you don't, I mean, obviously it's not as good as the first one, but Ghostbusters 2 is a great film, not as good as the first, and still a fantastic film in its own right. And that's kind of how I hold RoboCop 2.
You know? I would agree with everything that you just said. A solid sequel, and, you know, we didn't talk enough about Mr. Weller and how perfect he is in this role as RoboCop. Like, it's perfect. Like, just all the mannerisms and just that, the way that his face can just sort of tell you everything, and he doesn't even have to talk.
With
his wife, you know, in RoboCop 2, like, he keeps driving by and everything, and then, like, she confronts him about it finally, and even though he's there, he just hits that switch to be like, all right, no, I can't. do this.
Which, but I like that, knowing full well that this guy is not a machine or just a robot. He has emotions. He can think, and he knows what he's doing, and he's scared about continuing to go see his wife. So, and that's a sad scene, and we're only given so much, but the movie's not, that's not the primary focus, which is why that's kind of, okay, we've wrapped up that unfinished business from the first film, and then we move on to this new storyline. So, yeah, it would have been nice to see more of it, but you know what? It just wouldn't probably have been placed properly to see RoboCop see his son and actually come face-to-face with his wife outside the police station. You know, where he confronts her and says, you know, yes, I am your husband, but I can't do this. And all
he does. Can I poke the bear real quick? At least you got to see that in the new RoboCop. Ugh.
No, I wouldn't know that because I didn't see the new RoboCop, and I'm going to keep it like that.
Well, now you know. That's the unfortunate thing. Unfortunately, yes.
Funny, man. I was so mad when I heard they announced they were doing it. I didn't care that Michael Keaton was in it. I'm like, you're not getting me to see this movie. There's no way in hell I'm shelling out money. I don't care if I get a free ticket or anything. Let's go and make fun of it. No! I'm not going to see it, and I'll never see it.
There you go. That was my poking the bear moment.
I think I watched about half of it, and I think I just turned it off. I was just like, nah, there's no interest in this. I just... It wasn't a thing like it was making me angry or anything. I was just like, this was pointless. There's no sense in doing this.
Yeah, another PG-13 RoboCop. Yep, that was so successful the first time around.
And you're just changing everything about it. Like, the suit is just a totally different color. It's like, why has it got to be a black suit? Like, why couldn't you just like stick to the... I mean, I think there was a point where it was, like, the suit he was wearing was gray, and they painted it black, maybe? I don't know.
At the end, they tried some silly thing where I think they wanted to give it back to, like, at the end, he wears the suit that, well, he should have had the whole damn time, or the look, and yeah. Nothing memorable. It wasn't one I wanted to go back and watch again. Seen it once, and that was enough for me.
Oh, God. Joe had to bring that up.
Yep,
We have to. If we're having a discussion on RoboCop 2, we got to, like, sort of dabble a little bit in the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating that, you know, with a lot of franchises that have a lot of potential and they fall off very quickly with the sequels and spinoffs and things like that, it is fascinating to look at the things that failed, which, like with the Jaws sequels, like, I don't like Jaws 3. It's more fun to learn about the behind the scenes stuff because the movie is such a train wreck of a film. And like Jaws the Revenge, I get why people don't like it. I have fun with it, especially knowing all the things that went wrong with it, like things like that. And with RoboCop, when you've got a great sequel, a third film that I have no intention of ever revisiting, Nathan's going to have a hard time getting me and Joe to actually sit down and watch it again. Just to refresh your memories, to do a discussion on RoboCop 3. I don't see us actually sitting down to do a discussion on RoboCop 3. That's no. The closest way we're going to get.
I'm not going to put you guys through that.
Well, hell, when you told me you went back and watched it, was what, three or four years ago, you're like, yeah, this movie sucks. I'm like, yes, it does. It's awful.
Yeah, I mean, is what it is. Wasn't expecting much from it at all.
And it's a shame because Fred Decker, who did, you know, Monster Squad and one of Nathan's personal favorites, Night of the Creeps, you know, directed it, and I know that wasn't his intention to make a bad RoboCop movie. That was going to be PG-13. Probably could have been better.
Well, yeah, there is going to be that documentary that's going to get released at some point. I'll definitely buy that and check it out.
I can't wait to buy it. Joe, if you're not aware of this, and I post things to Joe, and he just ignores a lot of it, half the stuff that I see anyway. But there's a brand new RoboCop documentary that's going to cover the entire franchise from the movies, the TV series, the cartoon the animated series, the action figure. It's going to touch on all of this stuff.
You want to know what the name of it is, Joe? Can you take a guess?
Is it the RoboCop documentary?
No, it's RoboDoc. Aha.
Aha. Aha. Aha. There you go. You had your end of the movie Coming to America joke. I got you. There we go. All right. Well, how do you want to wrap us up, Nathan?
Well, Tyler, you got anything else to add? Joe, do you have any other cheap tips?
Nope, no cheap tips. That's it. You got your one, and that's it.
That's what Joe says.
No, yeah, I always have one for you, but you had my cheap tip for the day. So we'll see how many people take advantage of that, and you guys got to give me your stories if you got your cheap-ass burger.
Tyler, you got anything else to add?
No, I feel like I've praised the hell out of RoboCop 2 and look forward to next week's Cobra Kai discussion.
Yeah, if Joe watches it.
I will. I'm not lying.
Because we're announcing it, that's what we're doing, so Joe's under the pressure now.
Exactly.
I'll get a message on Thursday. It's like, hey, can we do something else, guys?
That won't happen.
Yeah. He'll contact Nathan because he won't contact. He's like, yeah, can we discuss, you know, that one episode of Married Children?
I'm interested to see how next week's going to play out as well, because for those that didn't catch it on Capes and Commentaries, go back and watch that episode we did yesterday. Tyler's going to be at the beach, so he's going to have a different setup behind him. So I'm curious how it's going to work with the Wi-Fi in the hotel. It's going to just be a complete disaster. And Joe and I are just going to have to talk about Cobra Kai and just shut you out completely.
Hey, if the perfect setup could be Tyler by maybe a window in his room wherever he's at, and you can see a whole bunch of women going by in their bikinis, that's the setup we need to see. So you can freeze the camera just permanently on Tyler if that's the case, and you'll never see Nathan's face or my face or anything. It's going to stick right on Tyler's feed. So make us proud, Tyler.
Yeah, maybe.
See if I can arrange, guys, for next week.
Yeah, maybe you should do it from the balcony.
Well, I you know, we're staying in a house, so I'm probably going to go back and set up the recording on one of the balconies, probably with hopefully I can get maybe like the ocean back behind me, because we're staying across the street from the ocean, so I'm hoping like I can go up to the outer balcony and turn it to where like you look behind me, and you know, hopefully you can see the ocean behind me or something like that. So I ordered me a Cobra Kai tank top too, so hopefully I'll have that in time. If I could find me like a black headband too, I'll have that put on too, and spread the word of Cobra Kai, you know, on the beaches of Holden Beach.
Just get a black shirt and cut it up and do that.
I guess I could do that too. And tell everybody, you know, don't train like a pussy, train like a Cobra Kai.
Joe, are you feeling better before
we wrap this up? Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am. So you go ahead. You wrap it up. You do all the things that you know you're supposed to do, and I'll keep track and see if you do them.
All the things that I'm supposed to do. Like I'm under contract. I was trying to say contractually obligated. I can't even get words out anymore. I'm glad that we're at the end of
this
episode.
That's why we're not professional podcasters.
Do what?
That's why we're not professional podcasters.
Oh, exactly. And we never will be.
Yeah. Well, let's see how you do it. I'm counting on you, Nathan. Here we go.
Well, if you found yourself down this YouTube rabbit hole, I often find myself doing the same thing, and you've just magically come across this because you're like, oh man, I wanted to look up RoboCop 2, and it's one of the searches that pulled up, and you watched half of this, and you're like, they're not even talking about RoboCop 2. But if you liked everything else that we were talking about, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit the little bell so you get the notifications, and go back and check out all the other episodes. I've started to also put in a link in the description of the Podbean link that's like it does have all the Beyond Retro episodes there. It's put away to where it's all listed, so I've just had an audio archive, so if you want to click on that and go back and listen to all those episodes, you can do that as well. If you're listening to us on Podbean, make sure you hop over to YouTube and search Beyond Retro. Doug's been doing a good job of putting the link to the channel with the audio on a few of the episodes, so come over here and check us out and see Tyler's face get red when he gets angry about Infinity War every week from here on out. Also, Facebook.
There will be no end of Infinity War next week. I'm devoting all my manpower to praising the hell out of something. Like, thank God there's something to get behind.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Oh, no. I promise. And just like Joe is promising to watch Cobra Kai, I am promising there will be no Infinity War ranting.
All right. I'm gonna hold you both.
Please do.
To those statements. No Infinity War ranting. And Joe, you got to watch Cobra Kai this week.
I will. And did you mention about liking and sharing too?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I've been keeping track.
I was getting to it with the part that in the description, we got a link to the Facebook page. So go ahead and give that a like, you know. There's the post there Tyler makes when we're done, as he starts yucking it up over there.
Oh, Aunt Chris Pratt.
No, Tyler makes the posts on the Beyond Retro Facebook page. So go ahead and like that stuff. Share it to your friends. Email us. I always put the email in there, beyondretro84@gmail.com.
There you go.
It. That's
I'm
it.
Proud
that's
of you, Nathan. It. Damn it. You nailed it, man. Good job.
That's,
so
that's all of it. I don't even know what Tyler was laughing at 2 seconds ago.
Nathan's tone. He was like, I was doing it, man. I was telling everybody to like. You know, you're just yelling at me, Joe.
All right. Well,
yeah, you did, man.
All right. So we'll see you guys here next week for Cobra Kai. Enjoy your McDonald's. And, yeah, we'll see you next week.
Yep. See you next week.
Go see Infinity War.